You are very welcome to A Different Ball Game on Classic Hits. The show is kindly sponsored by Michael Gleeson Shoes Limerick. You can check them out online at michaelgleesonshoes.com. Shane, we're back for a fourth week.
A 4 week, Louise, and it's absolutely flying. It's definitely shortening the winter, and it's definitely a different ball game as we predicted, and another big, big weekend ahead.
Absolutely. Come here, are you enjoying yourself?
I am. It's I suppose considering what's gone on and everything, I am enjoying myself, and in fairness, we're having an old bit of crack, if nothing else.
We absolutely are, and I hope that you at home are having a crack as well and enjoying the show. You can get in touch. Shane, what's the number?
087-188-0008.
Good man. I can't tell you, lads, how many times Shane got that wrong off air, but I'm very proud that you
did it.
Yeah, but
you're the profession at this, Louise, not me, but I'm getting there.
You absolutely are getting there. Coming up on the show tonight, we have got a whole host of incredible people joining the show. We have got three All-Stars and a pop star. What about that? I tracked down the three All-Stars and, of course, Shane came back with a pop star. Great work and research this week, Shane.
Yeah, I have to thank my sister for this. I can't take any credit. So we have one of Tipperary's finest, Una Healy, was very kind to give her a few words on the upcoming Tipperary game this weekend.
And I'm sure that, Shane, you're really interested in what she thinks about the hurling and not just how fabulous she looks.
I wouldn't know, Louise.
We're going to chat, Shane, about something that was doing the rounds in the media this week. The ladies' football and camogie fixture scheduling. A lot of the women have been giving out, especially dual players, who feel they're under an awful lot of pressure to play both a camogie and a football championship game in the space of 2 days.
Yeah, and I don't think it's fair. It's definitely not fair, actually. And I think, but Louise, this talk has gone on for years now. This hasn't been brought up today or yesterday. So what's going on? Like, why isn't it being dealt with? Because it's not good enough, and we're all about player welfare. And I mean, people are giving up their time, and it's well known at this stage. I'm not giving away any secrets when I say that the ladies get a hell of a lot less than the men do in terms of expenses and food and all that goes with it. So why isn't something being done about it? Why, like, and players are speaking out about it, but I think something more needs to be done now by both the association. But I think the players need to kind of come together now on this.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more, Shane. And here to tell us exactly how she feels about it, someone who's been in the firing line and knows exactly what it's like, is Cork All-Star Anna Geary.
It's very frustrating for players to see camogie and ladies football making headlines from a negative point of view. And then this year, 20 by 20 campaign was so important in terms of 20% improvement in media coverage. You don't want to be seeing negative headlines all the time. So it's great to see the governing bodies working together to make sure that they fulfil that duty of care to the players, so that there is a handful of Cork players involved in both the camogie and ladies football. And the ladies football have moved their fixture to facilitate the All-Ireland semi-final that Cork are going to be in on the 28th of November. So hopefully that's the end of it. Hopefully that we see both governing bodies working together in the future to make sure that this doesn't happen again. I know it can be challenging, but I think the two female sports have to make sure that they're working together and not against each other, just to promote sport in our country, because it's really important at the end of the day. And I think the WGPA have done great work as well to keep those communication lines open between all governing bodies. So hopefully we see that continuing in the future.
So many important points raised by Anna there. And you can hear the extended version of that voice clip as well on our podcast, A Different Ball Game Online. Right, we're going to get stuck straight into it, Shane. Dublin v Meads, the Leinster final. It's going to be a good one.
Is it really, though?
Don't give the Dubs that satisfaction. Look, we know they're favourites, but it's going to be a battle, I reckon, of some sort.
Yeah, that's your prediction, Louise. I wouldn't predict it like that. But anyway, listen, we were very lucky earlier on in the week to catch up with multiple All-Ireland winner, doctor, hero of a doctor, and all-around gas man, Dublin's Jack McCaffrey.
Really looking forward to the Dublin-Meath Leinster final. These are the kind of games that I grew up watching. It'll be very exciting for both teams. I think Meath are a coming force at the moment, and these are the kind of games that I would really love to be involved in myself. So hoping for a Dublin win. I think there'll be a Dublin win, but we'll see what happens.
What a legend. That, of course, was Jack McCaffrey tipping Dublin to win. Of course, he's hoping for a Dublin win. He did reckon, though, Shane, that Meads were a coming force, he described them as. So look, that's a positive, I reckon.
I think Meads are a coming force. I think it's been a very positive Leinster championship for them this year. But I think it doesn't matter what me do this weekend. I just don't think they're going to win the game, to be honest, Louise. And that's, I know it sounds harsh, and even from their perspective in their own camp, I'm sure they just want to give it the best that they can and see how close they can get to the Dubs. But for me, like, the Leinster Championship is a waste of time, really, isn't it?
Oh, Shane, that's, you know, dare I bring up you telling the Cork footballers to kneel down beside their bed and say their prayers, right? Because you did do that before the Kerry game.
And last week I gave Clare absolutely no chance against Wexford, so I'd be known to get it wrong, Louise, but I would be shocked if I got it wrong this weekend. Listen, from Meath's point of view, they've had a very, very good campaign. You know, I think they've learned a lot, a very good manager. And, you know, getting to Leinster final is a good achievement. And they'll want to go in and give it to the Dubs as well. But I just think the Dubs are either way further down the road than Meath. And listen, I think Dublin are going to win it fairly convincingly, to be honest.
Right, that is us all out of time on A Different Ball Game with Michael Gleeson Shoes. You can check them out online at michaelgleesonshoes.com. We're back after these.
You are very welcome back to A Different Ball Game on Classic Hits, kindly sponsored by Michael Gleeson Shoes Limerick, or you can check them out on michaelgleesonshoes.com. Louise, we're going to continue with the football talk, and it's the Munster final, the Rebels versus the Premier County.
It's going to be a good game, and I'm smiling out the window here at producer Dahi because I know that he is just such a staunch tip man that even though we feel Cork are going to beat them here, Dahi's shaking his head saying, no, the tip lads are going to do it.
Yeah, but it wouldn't be like the tip lads to be good and confident coming into a game now, Louise, especially Munster final. So,
well, look, let's hear it from the horse's mouth. Here is 2016 All-Star and current Tipperary footballer Michael Quinlivan. We caught up with him before this weekend's clash, and here's what he had to say.
This weekend, obviously, it's a huge weekend for Tipperary people, and it's brilliant that both, you know, our hurlers and our footballers are going to be able to play. Given the significance, you know, 100 years on from Bloody Sunday, that we'll both take to the field. I know it can be hard quite to detach yourself from that. The game against Cork is obviously going to be they're favourites for a reason. They breezed through Division 3 this year. We've played them a lot over the last, you know, number of years. And, you know, the last time we played them in Championship, they put us away quite easily in 2018. So it's going to be a big test for us, but it's one we're definitely looking forward to. We've, you know, come through four very tough matches since we came back after, you know, the break. We had two league games that we really needed to win, which we did, and then thankfully we were able to get over both Clare and Limerick in the Munster Championship. And going 4 weeks in a row was quite tough going. So we'll hopefully be a bit better for the. Bit better for the break, and the break will hopefully, you know, mean that we'll perform a little bit better than we would have if it was last weekend.
Michael mentioned there, Shane, that this Saturday marks 100 years since the Bloody Sunday killings at Croke Park. Tipperary, I know, are going to wear a special jersey as well to represent and to show their respect. So it's a fitting tribute, I think.
Do you know what, it's maybe at times like these that you'd love to have the crowds there, like, you know, to be able to take in the atmosphere. But I think it would definitely mean a lot to both the hurlers and footballers this weekend if they could get a win for that reason alone.
We've got to talk about the game itself, obviously. That's what we're here to do, Shane. You wrote off Cork, you know, against Kerry, so what's your opinion here, just straight out? You've got to tell me, surely you're back at them this time.
Yeah, would you make me be like as if I'm the big bad devil writing off these teams. I think everyone wrote Cork off, you know, when they were playing Kerry as well. But the one thing I was disappointed with after the Cork and Kerry game was that everyone was going on about how bad Kerry were and not giving Cork any credit. So, you know, coming into this game, do you know, I'm not saying that I don't think they'll win, but I don't think they're as hot favourites as what's out there, and I think it's going to be a very, very close game. I would give Tipperary a chance.
I'm definitely going to call that it's a close game, because I feel we've mentioned over the last few weeks that games, there'll be these massive margins and gaps in scoring, but they've always come down to the wire, and I think straight knockout does that. And also we've got the addition as well of the AFL players, we spoke about them last week. So quickly, do you reckon for Tip it's going to be a big benefit? Will it be an advantage to them?
Well, you've Markeen is obviously with Cork, and Colin O'Riordan is with Tipperary, so it's going to be a very, very interesting to see the team news and you know, whether both players are playing or not. So for me, I'm definitely looking forward to this game. I don't think there's going to be much in it, and to call it, Louise, is very, very hard too. And I sit in defence, but if I was to call it, I'd probably pick the draw, you know.
Well, look, you're calling a draw, and maybe that's something we'll chat about in your quick fire round, but I still don't know why you won't just give Cork the win.
Well, I don't think it's as clear cut as some people are making it out to be. I think they could win marginally, but I just think it's going to be very, very close.
Right, remains to be seen this weekend. Let's keep the foot down and keep moving on here. We're going to chat all things Cavan v Donegal. It is the Ulster final. Producer Dahi is going to jump in on this one, because Dahi, you were at the Donegal game last weekend. it was the performance of the weekend, that's for sure. They really just played phenomenally. We saw that picture that went viral on Twitter of Michael Murphy on the ground, surrounded by players and still in possession of the ball. Give us quickly, I guess, your opinion on how Donegal are shaping up this year.
Yeah, Louise, look, Donegal, they're like a trifle. You know, there's a lot of things going on. The players, very flexible. You can play them anywhere, you know. So impressed with them. Like, Armagh started the game extremely well. That opening quarter, Armagh had a few goal chances there, didn't take them, and you felt like as the game went on, they were trying to keep that trend going. But the fact they weren't getting the goals, you know, confidence was going low, and Donegal were just gradually getting into the game more and more. The key part for me would have been that second quarter. They went in, Donegal went 5-2 up going in after the first quarter. And then the second quarter, going in at half time, was it 112-3 points to Donegal? You know, and at half time, if Donegal have a lead like that, you're not going to come back. Donegal very impressive, and you know, can they give Dublin a go?
They've got to beat Cavan first, Dahi.
They do, and look, Shane, you look at Cavan, they've been showing serious fight there. You know, even against Down, they were 10 points down at one stage against Monaghan. Look, we all thought Monaghan were going to win that game, didn't happen, but. Yeah, this Cavan team, there's definitely a lot of fight in them, but you look at this Donegal team individually, you know, you have to rate the bar with what Dublin have. And at the moment, what we're seeing from this Donegal team individually, as well as the team, they are right up there. Right up there.
Michael Murphy, you know, we understand what a star player he is. We're going to chat later as well about, like, the Tony Kelly effect. All of these people. Shane, you were a bit of a star in your day as well now. Let's not give him too big a head, Dahi, but... Do you feel that sometimes these players don't get the same amount of protection, or maybe protection is the wrong word to use, from officials and referees?
Louise, I saw that picture, and I've seen a couple of pictures this year, and I think the sledging that goes on in the game of Gaelic football, more so than hurling, is an absolute disgrace. We all get wound up, we all get fired up, many times I did myself, and please God again in the future, but... Like, you know, and of course you're going to have comments and feel to players and all that, but I think someone like Michael Murphy, like five lads shouting in their face, like, and I'd be more inclined now for them lads to go in and put scores up on the board than be sledging players. So I definitely do think they need more protection from the officials.
Right, that is us out of time with the football, guys. We are under pressure, so we're going to have to keep on moving on. I just have to laugh at this next piece of audio, but I'm laughing in really the most appreciative way. I'm so delighted that this wonderful woman took the time out of her day to comment and get involved with the show. Of course, you'll remember Una Healy from the Saturdays and all the other wonderful things that we know her for, but most importantly, as a tip woman. Here's what she has to say about this weekend's game.
Hi Louise, hi Shane, it's Una Healy here, giving my thoughts on the upcoming game between Galway and Tipperary. Being a tip woman myself, I'm completely rooting for Tip. It's going to be a divided household here though, because my dad is actually from Athenry, so he's a Galway man. He was filling me in on how there's been huge rivalry between the teams since 1988. I guess Tipperary going in with the advantage after winning their last game, but that makes Galway the underdogs. I'm sure that will make them even more determined. It's going to be a close one, I think. Obviously want Tip to win, but I think they'll do it. But it'll be close. I'd say by maybe 2-3 points they'll win. But that's my guess on the game, and best of luck to both teams, but up Tip.
Good woman, Una. Yeah, split household there with herself and her dad, who's a Galway man. I must give credit to my sister there, Louise, who's friendly with Una and was able to get that. So listen, I suppose in relation to the game, right, there's been a lot of recent rivalry. 2015, 16 and 17 in the All-Ireland semi-finals, they've all only been 1 point. And like in the 2010, the last All-Ireland quarter-final meeting between the two, Tipperary won by a point. You know, Larry Corb got a late point there. So everything that they've played over the last couple of years has been really, really tight. But again, all have been played in around the middle of the summer. So coming down into the Gaelic grounds, where the conditions over the last couple of weeks have been very, very tough, I suppose. Yeah, it's hard to know what to expect. Again, I think Louise is going to be very, very close.
Yeah, I reckon that it is going to be close. And like you said, it might come down to something just even like who's more used to the Gaelic grounds. You mentioned there that, you know, Tip have already played there. Galway, of course, have played their last two games in Croke Park. So not to say anything bad about the Gaelic grounds. In fact, I thought it looked fantastic on the telly last weekend. But do you think that Tip might have that little bit of an advantage having played their last game there?
Well, one person who's definitely going to be used to the Gaelic ground is the Galway manager, Shane O'Neill. Obviously, the Pearshing man has been there hundreds and hundreds of times. I don't know if that's going to be much of a play much of a part, Louise, to be honest, because like down through the years, the Galway lads would have played there more than enough times, like, you know. But do you know what's interesting, right? I was at the Tipperary and Cork game last weekend, and Liam Sheedy to be wired up, like he'd be running around the place, like so, like the candle is still burning inside him, like, you know. And then you see Shane O'Neill. Obviously, you know very well, and he's the complete and utter opposite. Like, you won't see him getting that wound up at all. So just the contrast between the two of them is nuts, really. And that'll be, I'd be very looking forward to watching that this weekend as well.
Of course, look, we know there's going to be an animation on the sideline, but even more so on the pitch. There's some massive players on both teams. There is plenty of all-stars between the two sides. So what are the key matchups for you, Shane?
Yeah, well, I think in fairness, Louise, Galway, you know, only for a touch of class from Richie Hogan, I think Galway would have done to win that game by 7 or 8 points. So I think they're hurling very, very well, and I know they beat Wexford comfortably enough, but obviously that form showed that Wexford weren't flying this year. So for me, I think Galway are flying, and if they can get over that defeat last weekend, you know, I think they might be able to push on. For Tipperary, they're a couple of weeks in the trot now. You know, a lot of their players, has been spoken about many, many times, are, you know, just coming up onto the 30 age bracket, and Galway have bred some new blood as well. So they have a lot of new players brought in too, like Fintan Burke and Shane Cooney, and you know, up front end they've got the likes of Cahal Mannion, Conor Whelan, obviously Joe's still there, so Brian Kincannon. For me, I think Galway are just that bit more fresher in terms of game time and in terms of age. So I think that, you know, that could tell the difference in the end.
Yeah, well, I reckon myself it'll come down to the wire. And I know, Shane, for you in your Limerick days, which are very recent, you've played both these teams and you've played them in matches that really have come down to a point, you know, that fateful All-Ireland, like, and many's a time with Tip as well. So who do you reckon are the team that will, you know, come out on top if it's a pressure moment like that? If we're looking at the clock timing down, there's seconds in it and a point, you know, in the difference, who do you reckon are the team that will cope with that pressure best?
Yeah, well, both teams are capable of dealing with it, to be honest. They've both been in that situation many, many times. So I don't think that's going to make much of a difference one way or the other. But I suppose, really, I'm tipping Galway, but maybe that's my heart rule in my head there, because obviously I know lads involved in the Galway management. So, but I do think that they've been hurling very, very well this year. And yeah, I just think that their players up front can do more damage in Tipperary's at this moment in time.
Okay, interesting. Look, if yourself and producer Dahi don't go to blows after this show, I don't know when you will. But anyway, you're tipping Galway. And of course, if they go through, that means that Tip are out of the championship, which is going to be a massive one. Let's keep moving on, Shane, because again, I'm conscious of time. We've got to chat about Clare v Waterford. It is the other side of that qualifying draw. Dare I say, Waterford v Tony Kelly.
Ah, Louise, I think that's a small bit harsh now on the rest of the Clare team. And I must eat humble pie, Louise, as last week I gave them no chance against Wexford. I got that badly wrong. Very disappointed with Wexford. Very, very disappointed with Wexford, to be honest. Tony Kelly has been the talking point across the country in what he's been doing this year. And my surprise, Louise, I'm not one bit. I always knew that he had the capabilities in him. He's my own age. I played against him loads and loads of times, from schools hurling all the way up, minor, 21 and senior. He's, I suppose, listen, 2013 Hurler of the Year. Has been quiet the last couple of years in terms of Clare, but with his club Ballyhea, he's been flying. So listen, he's deadly athlete in terms of his hurling capabilities, and also his athleticism is unbelievable. And obviously the question is, who's going to be, if you know, Waterford were to close him down, does that mean that Clare would lose the game? More than likely.
I mean, I think, Shane, it's hard to imagine that the Waterford we saw last weekend out against Limerick aren't going to really demolish Clare. I'm sorry to use a strong word like that, because I mean, judging on the performances they've had, they've really been depending on him. So if Waterford go and man mark Tony Kelly, like,
one second now, Louise, are you saying that Waterford are going to demolish Clare this weekend?
No, I'm not. That's a very strong word, is it? I'm not using demolish, but I do see them beating them, like, judging on the performance we saw last weekend.
Okay, and Waterford were very, very good against Limerick. Now,
why are you laughing at me saying that?
Because it's unlikely to use such a strong word in relation to a game. So listen, yeah, Waterford are probably going to be favourites, right? They were very good against Limerick, went toe-to-toe with them. And what Waterford brought last weekend is exactly what I thought. And I suppose I just hope that they didn't leave too much out in the field and that they will be able to recover only 6 days later. And in relation to Clare, like, they've had three good games. When I say good games, I know they did two good results, but three good games in terms of getting so much game time into them. But I just think if Waterford can work as hard as it did last weekend, that should tell the difference in the end.
Okay, for sure. Look, I kind of feel a little guilty now. I'm going to take back that word demolished, because I know that it's knockout at this stage, and I'm sure both teams are going to be in this to win, and Clare are absolutely capable of surprising us both. Shane, it's time for your quickfire round, because the show is almost over. Are you ready to tell us your three top picks this week?
I am.
Okay, Shane, your player to watch this weekend.
Colin O'Riordan, home from the AFL to play with Tipperary in the Munster football final.
Shane, the tactic you're looking out for this weekend.
Are Waterford, and who, if they do, going to man mark Tony Kelly?
Right. And finally, Shane, who do you fancy as a potential upset or an underdog this weekend?
The Tip footballers are underdogs against Cork. They're my shout this weekend.
That is us all out of time on A Different Ball Game this week. Me, Louise Cantillon, and the lovely Shane Dowling are back next week from 6:30. Until then, you can keep up to date with everything online. You can hashtag A Different Ball Game or listen back to the pod. You know we've got a pod, Shane.
Is that what they call it?
It's a podcast. It's all online at classichits.ie. Have a wonderful weekend, and we'll chat to you next week.
See you then.